We kick off hour number two of the program, talking a little SEC football, sort of. Recruiting's going on. The SEC did cancel their spring meetings, which are normally in Destin, Florida in May. Last week of May. I mean, that makes sense, though, right?
Like, a lot of beat reporters frustrated.
Really?
They don't get their vacation.
Oh.
Because they'd be down there and just interview some of the coaches afterwards. Some of the ADs and stuff.
Yeah, I hate to see it. Tough life.
Sorry. Sorry for your trouble.
This doesn't include SEC media days, right?
No.
This is just spring meetings. I mean, it's
yeah, it's it doesn't have nearly the fanfare, but a lot of local beat reporters will travel down just to talk to the coaches and then play a lot of golf and go to the beach and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I understand if you get to that point, and obviously as we continue to see things get canceled, the farther out as the coronavirus runs its course. But for media days, really, you could just have people send in questions like, and then ask the coach as you're just doing like a live Periscope video or something of that nature. I understand it's not going to be the same, but as far as just getting content in a way to where the fans are able to hear what these coaches have to say.
Oh, yeah. If they elected to do it that way, you'd get the exact same information.
Yeah.
You just wouldn't be flying down that morning to Hoover, doing the media rounds, and then flying back. But, I mean, this is kind of... I get that there's value in having everybody kind of face-to-face, especially when you're in a competitive environment, right? All your athletic directors together talk, all the coaches together talk. Mm-hmm. Like, I totally get that, but kind of like a lot of businesses right now, the SEC realizing, you know what, we can actually just do all of this over teleconference. We don't have to rent this space and fly these people in and hold 3-4 days of meetings, whatever it is. We can just kind of do it as needed over the web.
Yeah, it seems dumb to have meetings when you can have meetings virtually and not expose anybody to risk. I mean, even though the thing, you know, whatever.
No, it's a good move.
But, Davey, you're right. The media days is the next thing on the normal college calendar.
Mid-July, right? Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well, not to mention they've still, again, at some point you're going to have to get in, before the season, you'd have to get in some version of a mini camp spring practice, then a break, and then obviously your fall camp. I'm a little worried everything's just going to be, I mean, not worried, but everything might just be boom, 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 boom. Just bunch it all together.
Yeah. No, yeah, that'd be a good thing if we can get to that level by that point.
We were talking the other day about coaches and kind of their response to this when asked questions. Did you happen to see what Jeremy Pruitt said the other day on, what was the radio show he went on?
Was this with Laura Rutledge?
No. Three Man Front in Birmingham?
No, I don't think I saw what he said on that one.
I always get just worried when people I like, respect, root for have to talk about things that are kind of outside their wheelhouse, but I thought Pruitt actually did a really good job. They were asked him about basically Kirk Herbstreit saying he'd be shocked if we have football season. Reese Davis said he's optimistic, but it's too early to speculate. Pruitt basically said when you've got players all over the country and you're recruiting guys from all over the country, you get like the different perspectives from different parts of society right now. Oh yeah, well, I'm talking to this kid in Mississippi, it's not that bad there. And then I'm recruiting this kid from New Jersey, and he's been on lockdown and so on and so forth. I thought he did a really good job of basically saying right now there are things that are just more important. We have to worry about this before we ever worry about spring practice, media days, meetings, the season, so on and so forth. He ended it by saying, I've kind of taken the approach with our players that right now we're going to focus on today. That's helping our families, our communities, and setting an example of what we're supposed to do and the social quarantining and trying to defeat this virus and helping get our country going again. Whenever the season gets here, and I'm sure we'll have one at some point in time, we'll address that then, and we'll be ready to go. I was worried I'd read whatever he said and just kind of cringe, but I thought he kind of nailed it.
Yeah, apparently they've been having, virtual meetings with different position groups, and he said they didn't even talk about football. They just talked about checking on everybody. knows nothing about football. It was a health and wellness check.
So. That's good. Davey, I think you mentioned this yesterday or the day before, but Breck McMurphy was on the Feinbaum show, and he said that athletic directors are discussing the possibility of pushing the season start back to October or even January. So January, February, March, kind of what you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Be interesting.
Did you all see what Iowa State is having to do?
Yes.
No. Oh, yeah, yeah. Cutting coaches' salaries.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this last week. Like, that's going to have to happen. The revenue is just not going to be there from the conferences, from television. At some point, I would say a lot of universities, I guess credit to Iowa State for going first, but this is just probably going to happen across the board. Like, you're going to have to renegotiate contracts at some point.
I believe this move for Iowa State will allow them to save up to around $4 million due to coaches' salary cuts.
That's it? Figured it'd be, try to get a little more.
It's just a one-year temporary pay reduction for athletics department coaches and certain staff, they said.
I mean, a lot of people, like, if you're in the situation, it's like, hey, we're going to have to cut your pay or you're going to lose your job. I think a lot of people are just going to be like, yeah, we'll just cut the pay.
Cut the pay. You're still making more than, what, 95% of... If you're a Power 5 football coach?
That's the thing. I don't know how much. I didn't really get into the specifics of which.
I don't think they listed it, did they?
No. But, like, which coaches, like, is Matt Campbell going to take just a large chunk out of his because he obviously makes a lot more than any other coach at that university?
Well, yeah. What was his new deal? It's like $5.5 million or something per year. I mean, you go down to $4.5 million, you're still doing just fine. Hell, at that point, he's still making more than Jeremy Pruitt.
Yeah, they only announced that they were doing a one-year suspension of any bonus incentives for any coaches, which that saves about $1 million, they project. And then they were – I mean, they're delaying – I guess they were raising their donor levels or whatever, so they're not going to do that, which is going to save their donors money, which it doesn't make any sense. That doesn't change the athletic director or athletic department at all because you weren't going to have that. Anyway, and then I guess they said they're $5 million short because there was no Big 12 men's basketball tournament and no NCAA basketball tournament.
Naturally. Yeah, I mean, all the conferences are going to be dealing with that. So, thusly, all the schools will be dealing with that. And I mean, I would imagine places, you know, like Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, they would be okay. But you think about a school like Vanderbilt, right? Like, not a lot of football revenue coming in there, not a lot of basketball revenue. You need the revenue share from the SEC tournament, from the NCAA tournament. And now they're just not going to get it. Think about some of the private schools. You know, Wake Forest, like, what are they going to do? These schools that don't have kind of the big cash cow where they could have some money just laying around. We talked about, obviously, donors are not going to be able to give nearly as much for the foreseeable future as they have in the past.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people also generally believe that these universities for the athletic department just have a lot of money lying around kind of in the bank. That's not necessarily the case when you look at...
Not if they're public.
No. Ross Dellinger, who used to cover LSU, I think, Nate, you put it in the group thread the other day, he broke down LSU... and each sport's either profit or loss for the year on how much it takes into account. And LSU's lucky that baseball at least makes some money for them. Most schools, that's definitely not the case. Basketball, I believe, netted around $1.5 million for them. But football, obviously, that's the cash cow. So for the 2016-17 season, I believe it was LSU had $56 million in profit, but $23 million for the other sports that football paid for.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go in and you look at the expense reports for, I was looking at it was a USA Today, they took in the expense reports for all football teams, and really outside the top 25, you don't have anybody coming out on top, really. There's the top 25 programs as far as people having money in reserve.
Yeah, and they're, I mean... they're nonprofits that don't pay taxes. Like, you can't exactly be just like storing away profits for years, saying, "Yeah, we might need these later." Like, that's not how it works. Like, that's why these salaries keep going up. I mean, and the people that move through the universities, the mentality at the highest level is, "I got to get mine now while I can get it, and I'm gonna pay yours and get mine and then move on." And so that's why when something happens to these individual schools, it becomes a problem really quickly. Now that something may happen to all of them collectively, the economic impact is going to be large one way or the other. LSU was...
Can we give Butch Jones a pay cut?
I mean, I wish we'd just stop paying him, but...
Sure. Of course, now it's... like the best built-in excuse ever.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no one's hiring. Jeez.
LSU was $56 million on the plus side for football, 1.6 for basketball, and about $500,000 to the good for baseball.
What did you say LSU was in on the plus in football?
$56 million. Hmm. That was back from – that was from like 16, 17.
In 2019, Tennessee football was plus $44 million. $96.1 million in revenue, $52.7 million in expenses. The athletic department in 2019, the fiscal year, which is July through June, only operated at a $790,000 surplus.
Yeah, that's not gonna fly if you start missing any portion of the revenues coming in from football.
And that's why I said, I don't think it's mentioned on the show, but we talked about it. Like, if you don't have college football for an academic year, you're not going to have the other sports.
Yeah.
No, that's – I mean, that is why they canceled the spring – I'm convinced that's why they canceled the spring sports and didn't postpone, because without the NCAA tournament, the NCAA doesn't have the money to put on the other championships. They can say it's for coronavirus, but if it had just been a weird – we can't have the NCAA tournament this year and everything else is as normal, I still think they would have been forced to do something.
Yeah, the NCAA tournament makes up roughly – I think it's – between 80 and 85% of the NCAA's budget for a given calendar year.
Yeah. LSU lost $4 million on women's basketball alone.
Whew.
And they lost over $1 million on women's tennis, women's swimming, men's swimming, almost $1 million on men's tennis, almost $2 million on women's soccer, volleyball.
What was their gymnastics at? I want to say that cost them a really good amount of money.
They lost $2.2 million in gymnastics, $2.15 million.
And they're really
softball.
Good. They're really good in gymnastics. Like, they're one of the best gymnastics programs in the country.
Get this. Men's and women's track and field, when you put them together, along with their cross-country teams, lost – it cost them $5 million to do that, to do those two sports. Kind of – shows you how all the economics of this stuff works. And if there's no football, I mean, that's what makes me think that they will do football without fans if they have to. Because, like, the TV
deal,
I
agree.
Like I think, unlike the NCAA basketball tournament, where all this stuff was kind of on the front end and happening.
They were short-sighted. They didn't have time to think about it and make a decision. They didn't have enough information regarding what was going on.
How that could go and how to make revenue on other stuff.
I bet you if you would ask them, they regret not doing the 16-team one-site tournament.
With no fans, Yeah, probably.
Because that's what the NBA is apparently kicking around. Is just
go to Vegas.
Go to Vegas. There's four venues. All the casinos are empty. It's basically a quarantine city right now anyway. And you could just basically keep the NBA players separate from society, make sure, you know, obviously test them all, and then just start playing games in empty arenas.
I mean,
I'm with you. Like, if they have to do it with no fans, they're going to do it with no fans.
Yeah.
Because I think at that point, the TV rights, I mean, they're already astronomical, right? Like, they already make a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
Does Power 5 football off of television rights, it would be even more, I would imagine, because people are so jonesing for any type of sport. Obviously, people can't go to the game, so yeah, they're gonna watch them.
We'll come back with more. Stick with us. It's Hour 2, Thursday edition of 3 and Out. Welcome back into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. The NFL offseason just continued to move along. I mean, they kind of
and we thank you.
They kind of got lucky that, you know, all of their stuff post combine doesn't have to be done in person for the most part. Move those all to virtual situations. You mentioned it earlier during a break, Houston. Lamar Jackson's throwing with Antonio Brown. You think we see Antonio Brown play football this year?
Not this year.
In any shape or form?
Not this year, no. That's just a guess.
I mean, Marquise Hollywood Brown does play for the Ravens, so it would make sense that Antonio Brown could get some work in with Ravens guys, I guess.
What? Are they related?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Now I can't remember how, though. If they're
Hollywood Brown and cousins. Antonio Brown are related?
I think they're cousins. But
Brown's a very common last name. I just assumed it was.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. What about A.J. Brown?
No.
Nope? Okay.
No.
You see how easy it is, though, that I could be confused.
Yeah, they're cousins. Mm. Okay, huh? I had that right.
Did you know that? Billy did not know that. Davey, did you know that?
Nope. I'm trying to look into that. But
yeah, they're cousins. Because
that's a good fact, Nate. Good job, man.
I remember studying Hollywood Brown when he came out. And I thought I remembered that in his draft profile, saying this is the cousin of Antonio Brown. I mean, kind of makes sense. Watch that guy. Like, they're both incredibly dynamic athletes.
Sure.
It's crazy. They're kind of start and stop ability. We didn't get to see Hollywood Brown run the 40 at the combine, which I was really disappointed about. He had a foot injury then.
He had it all year.
Yeah, he would have. He'd had surgery, I think.
Gus Johnson gave Marquise Brown the nickname Hollywood when he was playing at Oklahoma.
Gus Johnson did? Really?
Yeah, but he's from Hollywood, Florida.
Okay,
so.
Well, that makes sense. Okay.
Can we get Gus Johnson to just call anything right now? You guys seen the video going around of the
British announcer?
The British announcer, yeah, calling his dogs eating their food. It's pretty incredible.
No, I did not see that.
Yeah, you like the British accent or whatever. Like, I could listen to that guy call anything, and he proved it because he called his two Labradors eating like it was a race, and it was incredible.
I'm gonna have to check that out.
Yeah.
Thank you for that note.
We need Gus Johnson doing that. We need Gus Johnson giving us some late buzzer beater action, or you know, big college football moments, but with other things, anything.
I'm all for that. The only issue is there's probably TV rights deals. He can't just like cut a video of something that was exciting and then give his own call for it. But yeah, I'd be all for that.
Was it Joe Buck that did that? He said, "Send me your video and I'll announce it."
Yeah, and everyone started sending him sex tapes.
Well, I saw somebody joking about that.
No. Seriously, he got interviewed. He was like, "Yeah, I thought that would be a really good idea. Mm-hmm. You know, I get a little league game or something like that, and people would ask him to narrate or call their sex tape." And so I think he cut that program.
Can't have anything nice.
No, he cut that program.
Just gotta take it to the lowest common denominator.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been his intentions all along. You never know.
Okay, Billy. That's just what he wants. Just random people.
You're a bad person.
That's like when you're a middle schooler and you're like, "Oh, there's nude beaches. Oh, that sounds fun." No. Regular people. No. You know what I mean? Like, your first thought is like, wow.
The human body is beautiful, Nate. You ever been to a nude beach?
I have been near one.
What does that mean?
Well, so we took a glass bottom boat ride when we were at a resort in Jamaica on our honeymoon.
Right.
And it was great because not only did we get to see like the fish and the coral and everything,
mm-hmm.
but there was a driver, and then there was like the tour guide guy. And the tour guide dude needs a Netflix special because he was basically doing stand-up on this boat, and we were all just dying. So one of the things they do late in the tour is they go kind of around this corner, and they're like, and he starts talking about, and now we're going to enter the, I think it was Hedonism, or Hedonism 2, maybe, was the name of the resort over there. And they had a floating dock, like in the lagoon, and he basically kind of buzzed it with this boat. Like, we didn't get that close, but, you know, like right up to their buoy lines or whatever. And he's like, now everybody smile and wave at our friends over here. And we just, you know, there were a lot of birds flying back at us. If that.
Oh, really?
If that's, yeah. They were not happy that the Jamaicans like to spice up their day giving the glass bottom boat tour rides and kind of buzzing and.
I feel like that's kind of driving the boat right by somebody's bathroom, like while they're taking a shower. It's like, hey, man, I'm in a place where I'm supposed to be safe to be naked.
You just, I mean, I don't, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just telling you my experience. I didn't sign up for that. We were just enjoying the sights until that.
Did you laugh?
Yeah.
Case closed.
It was funny.
That's a good point.
What's wrong with society?
I used to want to be a gynecologist when I was younger.
Welcome back into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios.
No, the show's just canceled. It's just canceled.
Why?
Well, we sent Billy home.
Yeah.
After that,
he's suspended
for at least
a couple minutes.
Yeah, a couple minutes.
Yeah.
This quarantine's really getting to us, you know.
It is. It is. Yeah.
Did not see that coming.
Did you hear that Joe Exotic may have coronavirus?
I literally told the room that during two breaks ago.
Yeah, but you didn't tell the listeners, so I thought we could.
But you asked me if I heard it.
Oh, well, sorry.
Normally I say something like, you know, you were talking about this during the last break. Mm.
So it's his new husband that told the world he had coronavirus?
Yeah, Passage. He's in quarantine. He may not have it, but he's coronavirus quarantine in the Oklahoma prison.
Okay.
Is the way I understood it.
Okay.
I didn't realize, I think Billy tried to tell me this, and I was like, there's no way that's true, even though you can watch that show and something you think you misheard. No, you heard correctly. But for his new husband, he married him 2 months after his other husband killed himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he invited them all.
They met in a chat room.
Yeah. And then the wedding was just his now deceased husband's mother, the flower girl, and the cameraman.
Right.
Yeah. Because if she's okay with it, everybody's okay with it. He was lonely. He still had one husband, though, right?
No, John had left him at that point.
They
had split.
He was lonely.
You know, I told somebody the other day, if Joe Exotic gets out, I mean, he might have a job as a recruiter somewhere for something. Because, I mean, anybody that can convince two straight guys to marry another man is a pretty good recruiter.
Well, Nate, it's called meth. It's one of the most addictive chemicals ever created.
Don't tell Will Wade. I mean, he might start using it.
I don't know if Will Wade listens to the show.
That's a good point.
He probably should. Just saying.
Have you seen people freak out about the
Rockies Golden Nuggets?
I feel sorry for people that have watched the show and people that haven't watched the show in these moments.
I still can't believe he sung a song at the funeral and everyone was clapping along.
What's a celebration, Billy?
Yeah, well, it was a celebration.
It's not a sad moment.
I come out here and I take pictures of the sky.
So every morning before the day starts, and smoke a cigarette.
This one says hi.
I've seen angels. That's my favorite scene. I mean, that was it. I was going to do a two-tiered thing.
The biker club built this. They got his four-wheeler and his whatever else it was. I don't even remember. Okay. I actually had a different idea of what I wanted it to look like, but they done this. It looks pretty good with the rock on it.
Turned out better than anything.
Better than
his plan.
I'd like to introduce my wife, but my husband is at home feeding my brand-new baby kangaroo.
They never showed the kangaroo. I was kind of disappointed. I'm a big kangaroo guy.
You like kangaroos?
Yeah, they're great.
I always wanted to say that.
Apparently the males, though, when they get big, are very violent.
Really?
Well, people don't know this. Their feet, huge claws, like raptor claws.
Oh, really?
And they put all their weight on their tail, and they kick you.
I can't
very
imagine.
Scary.
You know, so you know how a dog has that at the end of their back feet? It's that, you know, I don't know what, basically the inverted kneecap like on a human.
Mm-hmm.
Mine ran into me on accident yesterday, and I about went down. I can't imagine.
Was he backing up?
I can't imagine a kangaroo. Yeah, he was excited and kind of like spun and just kind of like hit my foot. I can't imagine a kangaroo that's, I don't know, what, 10 times bigger or something?
Than your dog?
So I don't know. How much do they weigh?
A male kangaroo?
Yeah.
I think they can get up like over 200.
Yeah, so, I mean, a dog's about 50 pounds. Like,
I feel like that's,
times.
That's low.
And
it might be.
And they'd be...
They're like, just very lean. They're so muscular.
And they'd be trying to hit you with that type of...
200? Oh, man, I am awesome. A large male kangaroo can be 6 feet 7 inches tall and weigh 200 pounds.
Oh, man. Does it say what type of kangaroo?
Eastern gray. And the red...
It says a red kangaroo, I believe, is smaller.
I think so. The red is the... Australian kangaroo, I believe.
I thought they're all Australian.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, if you just go to like the Wikipedia page, it just says kangaroos are indigenous to Australia.
So that's the only. That's it. It's the only one.
I mean, a lot of
the average Eastern gray kangaroo is 110 to 150 pounds, but a big one is going to be 6'7", 200. But again, they're lean, so they're huge. A lot of muscle.
The Australian government estimates that 34.3 million kangaroos lived within the commercial harvest areas of Australia in 2011. It's the most recent data.
It's a good population.
According to Wikipedia.
I never got to see the kangaroo. That's why we need a sequel.
There's a really good documentary that I cannot remember the name of about a guy in Australia who is like a kangaroo...
Guru?
Yeah. Well, he like...
Guru guru?
He raises them and saves them. It's like a sanctuary type thing.
Like
he's like Carol
rescue.
Baskin. That bleep. I can't remember his name. It's really, really good, though.
Huh.
Janeway sent us Jeff Lowe's video yesterday, and granted, it was April 1st, so I don't know if any of it was
true or
not.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even watch it. What did it say?
Communism will rise again.
Yeah, after he was talking about communism, he talked about, all right, I won't be in season 2.
Oh.
There's not going to be a season 2.
I don't know, man.
Unless Joe gets out of jail.
James Gerritsen left it up. Like, he's got more to tell.
Sometimes, I don't know. You ever watch a great movie that's set up for a sequel and go, I just think they just need to stop because it'll stand the test of time if they just stop here. But if you make a second one, a third one, it's just going to diminish the value.
That's how I felt at the end of A Dark Knight Rises.
Really?
Well, with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, he reveals that he's Robin. He goes to the Batcave. You're thinking, oh, yeah, we're going to get round 4. And I'm fine with that. It was perfect. I create the movie in my head.
Kind of like Jurassic Park. I love the first one. That's about it.
Oh, you're saying they should have just called it out?
Should have just stopped. Maybe. I mean, I definitely remember the first one being such a big deal. It was incredible. And then after
none
that,
of them come close to being as good as the first one.
I get that. I was trying to think because
Karate Kid.
I mean, there's several movies though. If they would have just ended it after the first, that the series wouldn't have been very good. Like the Dark Knight and the Dark Knight Rises, needed to happen for that trilogy, in my opinion.
Oh no, I agree. I thought we were going to get a fourth one when Joseph Gordon-Levitt reveals that his real name is Robin, and he gets the keys to the Batcave. I was like, here we go.
No, I was just trying to go opposite. I'm with Billy. Jurassic Park didn't need the second and the third, but the Batman trilogy. Like, it needed
like
the
some
second,
of them.
The
some
third.
Of them do need sure. the, yeah. the series, I guess.
Well, there's so many storylines in Batman.
Right.
Well, and in fairness, I mean, Jurassic Park was a book, and then was two. What was two?
I don't know.
Lost World.
They've had what, four now, right?
Lost World was two.
That four.
Five.
Oh gosh.
Five.
Well, if you're counting it's Jurassic five. World, there's
yeah. Okay.
It's five or six, yeah. But two was also a book by Michael Crichton, or Crichton. I don't know. Did you ever read the books?
No.
Way good? Different than the movie, but really good. Hmm. Really good.
Wait, there's a Jurassic World 3 coming out in 2021?
Oh, good.
I'd say so. I mean, they've made so much money.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And Chris Pratt's such a big star right now.
Yeah, but dinosaurs are such a moneymaker. It's like tigers, man. Like, you see the dinosaurs and you throw your money at the movie machine.
It's a very good score.
Oh yeah.
John Williams is fantastic.
The score for the original Jurassic Park is untouchable. Mm-hmm.
There'll never be a better composer in Hollywood than John Williams.
Agree. It's not even close. It really isn't.
If you don't know who that is, go look him up, and you'll be amazed at all the sound you are familiar with that he is attributed with.
Everything, man.
Yeah, pretty much, I don't know, any...
Star Wars, Indiana Jones, Jurassic Park, like...
Jaws.
Yeah, that one was just two notes, though.
That's what made it so brilliant.
I know. I agree.
Yeah. Well, he walked in and played it on a piano.
And then it speeds up. But then...
Kind of sounds like "Go Gators."
What are you? Is your aim to ruin the show today with just nonsensical? What do you think came first, Florida using the Jaws theme, or I don't know, Jaws? Also, it's weird that an alligator now gets the theme for a shark.
Yeah, I've always
feel like
that was
Ole
strange.
Miss now has more claim to the Jaws theme.
Mm-hmm.
Besides, they roll it into the da-na-na-na-na-na, Go Gators. It's just a good teaser, the Jaws theme. That's a great... You want to talk about dialogue? That's a good movie. Have you seen Jaws, Billy?
I don't think I've seen the entire movie, no.
I've seen that movie 1,000 times. And I don't think I'm exaggerating.
Just...
That's one of those you can always go back and continue to watch. It's not like, oh, I've seen it once. It. All right.
Yeah, it's good. It's a big shark. 25-footer. That's your new homework. You did Rounders. You liked it.
I did four, right?
Oh, gosh. One.
Jaws?
One, two, three, Revenge. Was it just four? For some reason I was thinking there was five, but it might just be four.
Four at least as far as the Brodies are concerned.
I think that's... They all kind of have the Brodies. Like, Revenge is Miss Brody and Michael Caine. Mm. He's a pilot. There's your Batman tie.
One and two are... Oh, is it Richard... what's the main character's name? Or main actor in the first two?
You're thinking of Richard Dreyfuss, who's in the first one.
Oh, that's right.
What is... I forget that guy's name. Martin Brody. His real name.
There was a big lawsuit great radio. He was in.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Did you hear, though, that they might be able to...
Roy Schneider.
Roy Schneider,
create
yep.
some dinosaurs in the next 5 years?
I did see the teaser, the clickbait that says mm-hmm. scientists believe in 5 years we can actually recreate dinosaurs. I just feel like there's a lot of data pointing as to why that's a bad idea.
We got till May.
What, till May?
That article. It came out in 2015.
Oh.
Oh, so they were regurgitating as if to say, hey,
better
clock's ticking.
Now's the time.
Well, remember they found that mastodon in the glacier?
Yeah.
And they thought
yeah.
they were going to be able to create mastodons? Still waiting on a mastodon. They said that would only take 3 years. That was like 6 years ago.
Yeah, didn't they
want to... these scientists are... That was I think there are a lot of talk and not a lot of action.
I believe that was an entrepreneur. Was they, the website.
Didn't they want to create the Mastodons again to, like, roam certain areas of the Arctic to keep the vegetation down? I don't know. It was a whole thing.
I don't think there's a lot of vegetation in the Arctic.
No, it was...
That's just me guessing.
It was not like... Not above where it's frozen all the time.
I don't think it was the Arctic. I do think there was something about, they're in here just plodding down all the grass and trees and stuff.
Yeah, like up in northern Canada, I guess. I don't know. It was a whole theory. And
that would make more sense.
If they kept the vegetation down, then in the winter, the permafrost lasts longer, and it doesn't release as much carbon and this whole thing.
So the mastodons would help fight global warming,
basically,
essentially?
Yeah. It would allow everything to be frozen longer in the winter because they would keep the vegetation down that grows in the summer or something.
Wasn't it the Ice Age that killed them? Just a thought.
I guess so.
I'd like to see a mastodon. I don't know if they'd let you ride those at the zoo.
Isn't there one in the Smithsonian's?
Okay, yes, there's a mounted fake mastodon.
Well, obviously, it's fake.
I just want to make sure you weren't about
that one?
Not in person.
Oh, well, that'd be...
Maybe, right? I don't know. I might have seen it. I don't remember seeing it, and I went to the Smithsonian.
Yeah. Well, maybe you didn't go in the right one.
I know, there's like 8. There's a lot.
How many there are now?
There's a few.
Yeah, we'll come back. Final segment, hour 2. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Final segment, hour number 2. Here live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio. In the NFL, Jadeveon Clowney's lowered his asking price.
As he should.
Looks like it might be just down to Titans and Seahawks. Just a big game of chicken now as they kind of wait.
I'm still of the mindset that he will take a short-term deal. So I'm thinking like 1 or 2 years.
Well, he's only 27 years old. He does need to, I think, turn in a full season of staying healthy and, you know, making a difference week in, week out. I don't know. I thought it was weird that he wanted so much money to begin with. But at this point, like, I do feel like it is kind of smart on his part to wait a little bit, because you want teams to kind of either hit or miss on their other priorities and then go, oh man, we have $17 million left and you know, to spend on free agency, and we kind of missed on our guys, and if we sign a 1-year deal,
gotta keep the fans happy.
If we sign a 1-year deal, we can then use that money to on something else the next year if it doesn't work out, so let's just go ahead and take the plunge.
As it relates to the Seahawks, have you seen what has happened because of Clowney taking so long to sign?
No.
So, Everson Griffin, defensive end for the Minnesota Vikings, he is currently a free agent, but it looks as though he is wanting to sign with the Seahawks. And outside of Clowney, he is the next best pass rusher available in free agency.
Okay.
And there is a tie for Seattle because he played all 4 years at USC with Pete Carroll. And so, he wants to go to Seattle, but Seattle can't make a move as far as, well, they could pull the trigger, but if they pull the trigger on him, then they're pretty much out of the Clowney sweepstakes. So they need Jadeveon to make a decision, because if he doesn't come back to Seattle, they need to go ahead and get Griffin just so they have somebody that's able to play the pass rush position on the edge. And so Clowney's kind of that one big domino everyone is waiting to see fall. But we've talked about how there was the report coming out that Clowney could wait until training camp to make a decision. But if you look at these top contenders, which is what he's made clear he wants to play for, they're not going to be able to wait so long to see for his asking price to wait until you get to training camp before they have to make moves as far as ensuring they fill up some of the holes that they have on their roster in the hopes of landing Clowney. So they just can't have that much. They're not likely to have that much cap space available by the time he's looking to make that decision and get paid what he's wanting to get paid. Because initially, the reports were he's asking $20 million a year, $20 million a year. Whenever you're looking at his health and his production, even though from a physical attribute standpoint, he looks the part of someone who should be the highest paid defensive end in the league, but he's not giving you the production that warrants being paid that amount of money. So now he's down to $17 million. I mentioned it on my podcast the other day that I would be surprised if he gets $15 million at this point, but that was before he decided to go ahead and drop his asking price. Because he's taking too long, and he's trying to play the field too far in advance as far as setting up how much money he's looking to get paid. So if he doesn't come down, because teams just aren't willing to pay him what he's asking.
Roto World says Clowney will likely have to either sign a long-term deal in the $15 to $17 million range or chase a one-year deal to get back on the market next offseason. And, you know, he did start with his eyes on $20 million a year, but... yeah, it doesn't seem like anybody.
I mean, I don't blame him for starting high, but
that, yeah, I believe it's fine to start that high, but after you realize very quickly that no one's even considering giving you that amount of money, you needed to change pace pretty quickly. I mean, free agency, the best free agents, obviously, they go early.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that he's kind of bucking that trend of taking forever to make his decision is just putting a lot of teams in a holding pattern.
Well, Davey, I got good news for you, buddy, and your MyBookie betting life. In an exclusive interview with NFL Network, Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa says he feels 100%. I feel like if
it's a little different, him saying that he feels 100% than doctors saying, yep, 100%, cleared to go.
If there was a game today, I'd be able to go out and perform the same way I was able to perform in previous years. I feel as mobile as possible. I feel 100%.
He'll be a top 10 pick. I'm not even worried about it at this point.
What do you need him to go, 18 or higher or 17 or higher?
I need him to go before 19.
Before 19. So you need 18 or better.
And
before
I think the line was set at 18 and a half, and I got under that, and the Dolphins have the 5th and the 18th pick, I believe.
Well, I don't know if you saw this, but apparently the Dolphins are making a big move to try to get the number 1 pick.
There are reports that they want Burrow.
Could get interesting. Would Cincinnati then want Tua?
Maybe. Maybe you grade these
guys. Or Cincinnati could be pretty high on Herbert. Like, that's the discussion. It's
true.
Burrow, Tua, and Justin Herbert out of Oregon. Like, those are the top three quarterbacks. I don't know. I mean, I've seen a lot of people that think that Los Angeles Chargers are wanting Herbert. I believe they're at 6th.
I mean, I feel like if you're in the top 6, you're going to get one of the big three names, right? Like, if you want a quarterback, right? Like, you're going to get Tua, Herbert, or Burrow if you're in the top 6.
Mm-hmm.
What's Miami's first pick right now? Five or six?
Oh.
Miami, they're five.
Okay. 5 and 18? Okay. Well, Anthony Lynn, the head coach of the Chargers, said Tyrod Taylor's in the driver's seat to start this upcoming season.
Well, he's the only one there. Of course he is.
Basically what he said.
There's no other driver at all.
Lynn was his offensive coach that year that he had, that the Bills were really good with in 2016.
That's
when they led the league in rushing as a team. So I mean, that's the connection there. That's why Tyrod Taylor is in Los Angeles to begin with. He said he's in the driver's seat, but nothing is finalized.
Naturally.
So, there you go. Did you see a lot of the Patriots beat reporters are saying, hey, we think the Pats might really like Jarrett Stidham. They cut Cody Kessler the other day. So, it's just Stidham and Hoyer, the only two quarterbacks left for the Pats.
Stidham at Baylor was really good as a true freshman.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to Auburn. He's mobile, but he's not what Gus Malzahn has typically had when he's been good. I never understood the fit when Stidham decided to transfer of going to Auburn, just because he is a prototypical drop back, let it fly 40, 50 times a game, and that's just not what Gus Malzahn likes to do. Maybe he is way better than we think in a situation like going to the – I mean, they're – obviously, they can change it up a little bit, but their quick pass, their kind of dink and dunk, and then take your kind of calculated shots down the field. I feel like he's capable of doing all that. I think he's got a good arm. I think he's accurate. Maybe the Auburn system, again, I never liked it in the first place, The guy was a Heisman candidate as a freshman and then basically a throwaway quarterback in the SEC for the next 3 years. Maybe he's awesome. Who knows? They are pretty good at developing quarterbacks. I mean,
yeah, that one guy.
Well, Castle was good that year he came in.
Yeah, that's true.
They went, was it Jacoby? No. Was it Brissett?
Yeah.
Yeah, they went 4-0 without Brady 2 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. So? I just think it's I think it's a quarterback-friendly system.
That was Garoppolo.
Garoppolo and went 4-0, and then Brissett went when he spelled Brady a different time, right?
Right.
Or together, yeah. Kind of worked. I don't know. We'll see. Setting the stage. We'll come back. We'll kick off hour number 3. Stick with us right here on Fan Run Radio.